welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Dave Kalth, the new CEO of Record Verification Systems. Dave is an experienced executive in the chip design verification community. He was previously at OneSpin, Sigmatics, Cadence, Novus, and was also part of Accelera, the verification standards organization. Welcome to our podcast, Dave, and congratulations on your new position.
Thank you, Dan, and thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Hey, Dave, we usually start out with a good story about what first brought you to semiconductors. So how did you arrive at this industry?
Well, I kind of always wanted to be an engineer, which I think may be unusual, but it was true for me. But I do remember that, you know, I was working in England at companies like Plessey and then Nortel, and we were starting to do chip design, and it was kind of the new exciting thing. This was in the sort of mid-80s. And I remember at Nortel one day being introduced to Verilog. And in fact, Nortel are one of the original Verilog users, and it just being such a completely different experience in terms of design and you know, the way that chips are being built, and combined with even very early Synopsys design compiler at the time, you know, it was just completely transformational. And I remember thinking, oh wow, this is going to be a huge step. And from there, actually 6 months later, found myself as one of the first application engineers in Cadence. So I kind of sort of, you know, I worked my way in probably a fairly boring fashion, but based on the you know, the experience of Verilog and what was possible with that.
Yeah, you know, I asked this question to everybody I talked to, and a lot of people, you know, kind of lucked into it, or, you know, didn't necessarily intend to come here, but they made it here somehow. You know, I was a computer guy, so I worked for a computer company, but they made their own chips, so I ended up in the fab. And you go to the point of, hey, I want to know what's inside this stuff, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. We all started just, you know, creating boards, putting chips down on boards and stuff. And then usually there is a good story for how people got into actual semiconductor design, right? It was a great experience. I remember never looking back after that.
Yeah. So you're the CEO of Brecker. It's not your first CEO job, but it certainly looks like a challenge. Verification is a huge challenge in our industry. So Just tell us briefly, what is the vision for Brecker? How is the company doing? You know, why did they make the change now?
Yeah. So, So verification is, of course, a huge challenge, and it has remained so since we started verifying chips about, 30 or so years ago now. And I remember back to those days. We used to talk a lot about the executable spec, right? The executable specification, where you take some kind of written specification and just somehow automatically generate tests, and the power of doing something like that. I think at the time we saw it as the holy grail of verification, different people have sort of claimed the executable spec. But honestly speaking, Brecker is really the first and really the only company that I know about that's actually doing this, where you create a high-level specification in a human-readable form and actually automatically generate tests that can work across the whole development flow. I mean, this is a transformational thing, and it's something I believe that Brecker is driving and leading right now. When I saw this like 3 years ago, I was very excited about it. And I remember talking to Adnan, the founder of the company at the time, and thinking, yeah, this is revolutionary. This is worth doing. And that's why I joined Brecker back then. I'd say today, you know, it's been an interesting few years. The pandemic has been interesting for a lot of companies, I think. A lot of companies were slow to innovate during that time. And Brecker, therefore was selling a pretty innovative product. So we had a slow year, I would say, not a horrible year, but a slow year during the 2020. 2021, it's exploded. A lot of companies getting very excited about retooling, changing their methodology. So we've actually more than doubled our revenue this year, and we're looking at another big increase again next year. So the company's doing very well. The company is a very technology-focused one. So Adnan As the former CEO, he's still the president and CTO. He is very focused on the technology of the company and all the different technical engagements that we have. And for him to do that and to run the company, it was just too much. So I was already running both sales and marketing. So it's kind of a natural change, I think, to make me the CEO and just look after the operations and allow Adnan to really focus on the technology and drive Brekker forward in that regard.
That's good to hear, because, you know, we've been working together on SemiWiki for some time, and I'm a big fan of your company. So how is the semiconductor verification space, you know, the space that you guys play in, how is it evolving? You know, there's been a lot of consolidation. So, you know, how do things stand today?
So we've seen, verification move forward in the last couple of decades or so, but there's clearly a lot more that can be achieved. Great improvements were added, such as randomized testing, multiple execution engines. But, you know, fundamentally, we're still working very much at the signal level, whereas design has, of course, gone through synthesis and so on. So there's an opportunity for abstraction here. If we take a look at what's really going on, right, if people are designing at the block level, they're generally using system, Verilog, and UVM. That is fine for small blocks. But as soon as you start to use UVM at sort of a very large block or a subsystem, we find it breaks down both in terms of complexity, because you're still working, thinking about, you know, stimulus and checks and coverage models at a signal level, and also performance, because you can only run on simulators. It's hard to run UVM on an emulator, particularly because the emulator, you know, doesn't have a random solver built in. So you have to plug a simulator on the slides, and that slows everything down. On the other end of the spectrum, companies using emulation and prototyping are often creating test content using real-world test cases. And, this is fine and clearly a necessary step to make sure chips are production worthy. However, real-world test cases are not designed to target individual corner cases. And this makes it very complex when you're trying to really drive high coverage across an SoC. Doing that with a real workload just isn't really possible. So we have this situation where companies will design blocks, use UVM to test them, then throw them over the wall, and the system guys will put them into a chip and run these real workloads, and we end up with a lot of bug escapes. And that's a huge problem. And if you dig in, what you find is that there's a gap between the UVM block-based approach and the real workloads running on emulation prototyping, where a lot of verification has to take place. A lot of performance is required because these designs are large at this point, but you still need the flexibility of functional test. And it's this area which is widening because of new requirements like safety and security, testing infrastructure, cache coherency, some of the new processes that are being created. So it's widening, it's getting more complex. And what we see is that a lot of the verification resources and time is spent in this area. So this is the kind of the sharp end of verification today, we believe. And it's this that I think Brekker really excels at.
Oh, great. Dave, there's a lot of different approaches. So, you know, what practical advantages does Brekker provide with your approach for your customers?
Indeed. So we have built this test. We call it test suite synthesis. It essentially takes this executable spec and generates tests for right from the UVM level, actually even virtual platforms used before UVM, through to emulation and even post-silicon. For UVM design, with this kind of approach, you can work at this abstract spec level. So instead of designing individual stimulus blocks, checks, and coverage models, now you're working it with the specification of the design and generating those things automatically. So as blocks get larger, you can think about the specification and not about this lower level sort of test and checks kind of structure that you have to create. And writing tests at that level leads to a lot of over-constraining as the tests get bigger, and that makes the test very hard to understand, hard to maintain. And it also makes it hard to achieve coverage closure, because now what you're doing is running tests on a UVM block, and you get the coverage information afterwards. You find you've got problems, you've got to go back, and there's a big loop around redoing the test bench, getting the coverage right. So here, with this system, we get the coverage sorted out first up front on the specification model. So you get coverage closure, you actually set coverage constraints on the specification before you even generate any tests. So there's no coverage loop. You know what coverage you're going to get right up front. So that's sort of in the UVM space, trying to solve some of these block-based UVM problems. For SOC, there's a whole different range of problems that we tackle and solve. For example, I mentioned using real workloads generally does not provide the coverage that's required. So here, what we can do is by taking a specification and creating or driving a complete generation of the state space of a design, the system then takes that state space, sets the coverage on that state space, and you can use that to easily direct into very complex corner case type scenarios. So you can really dig in and find those corner cases very effectively without actually having to imagine each single one of them, which would be pretty much impossible. We can provide a very, very efficient emulation use model. So gone are the needs to plug a simulator on the side, on a separate machine on the side of an emulator. Now we can do all the test suite synthesis. We can do randomization, coverage closure upfront before those tests are actually placed onto the emulator itself. And that means that the emulation runs natively without a separate simulator, and it's much, much more efficient, much higher performance. And on top of that, of course, these tests are loaded straight into the memory on the emulator, so you don't have to recompile a whole design and test bench every time you have to make a change to the test bench. So that's really key. Of course, we're also working at this level on the SOC, often with processors. So the test consists of C code on the processors and transactions on the IO. So the system allows you to synthesize both of those things multi-threaded. So now we're working across multiple threads and in a concurrent fashion, and synchronize all that together very efficiently, all based on that original specification. So this really completely solves the issue with the verification gap that I described before, both in terms of coverage and performance. On top of that, of course, now we're working with one set of tests that can be used from UVM right to post-silicon across all the different platforms. So the idea of test bench reuse and portability is completely transformed. So one set of tests, you can start at the UVM level generating sequences, then use the same tests to generate C and transactions, and then diagnostics for post-silicon. So it's completely a reusable system. And in fact, we can encapsulate those tests into apps, if you like. And Brecker has already done this. We've created the library of Trek apps. And for a certain class of customers who don't want to be learning any new fancy languages for driving a synthesis tool, they just want to solve a problem, such as cache coherency, security verification from hardware root of trust, power domain testing. You know, as the other companies are happy to say, there's an app for that. So you can basically plug that in and do, you know, configure it to set up a certain design and do a full cache coherency test, for example. And we will be releasing newer cache coherency technology in the next couple of months as an aside. And finally, we also, and this is a fairly new thing for Brecker, we offer verification services where we can provide expert verification help leveraging these tools. So we can get projects done much more efficiently, often 3 to 4 times faster, with very high quality as well. So I think for, you know, different customers with different needs, we can provide a lot of those different solutions for them, and that's proven very effective.
Yeah, I like the verification services angle. There's a lot to be learned there, you know, working closely with the customers. But I have a follow-on question. You know, talk about the competitive landscape just real quick. You know, what's so special about Brecker that allows you to meet all these challenges that you described better than the other companies out there?
Yeah, it's a great question, Dan. And when you look at it, you look at this portable stimulus area, and you would say, well, there's a bunch of portable stimulus tools, of course, and probably they're all doing the same thing because they're using this portable stimulus language. That's not so. A lot of the other portable stimulus tools, and indeed verification methods in general, are working based around a random solver. So what they do is they'll look at this, as I mentioned, at the signal level, and they'll use random solving to generate a large number of tests to attack a sort of general verification state space, if you like. And that's fine, and that's worked very well in the past, and it continues to work for some of those other tools. We believe the real gains can be made by raising abstraction. So don't stick at that signal level, trying to understand, you know, trying to interpret a written spec and figuring out, okay, if I tweak the address bus here and set a signal there and drive some, so whatever it is, you know, I can achieve the same results. If you can start with that specification, turn it into a form that's easily created, easily understood, and generate tests using synthesis, what we can do now is, of course, make much more efficient the test composition process, but also generate far higher quality tests using machine reading systems. We actually, in our synthesis solution, we use something called planning algorithms. Adnan is a real expert in this area. It was a system first envisaged by IBM many years ago, and he uses artificial intelligence to analyze the math behind these graph-based designs or graph-based test benches. And essentially, it works backwards to create very, very efficient test sets. So by using planning algorithms, this abstract synthesis approach, what we're able to do is both generate very efficient tests, set the coverage up front, which is not always possible, and then map them onto different different execution platforms. The last thing I'd mention is a piece of technology we refer to as the Synthesizable Verification OS. And what this allows us to do is provide the portability I mentioned. So the tests are created and mapped to a specific layer for register access, memory allocation, and these other things that you have to do with these tests. The verification OS takes this and maps it to the requirements for the individual execution methods. So for UVM, it will generate sequences and allow those sequences to be put onto an existing UVM test bench. So a UVM guy is not having to rebuild his whole UVM test bench. It works. It's just a sequence generator in that case for existing UVM test benches. For SoC, it generates C code and transactions and synchronizes them together in a multi-threaded fashion. So it provides that kind of power there. And then, as I mentioned before, it also provides the diagnostics for prototyping and for post-silicon. So with these three pieces, the synthesis, the test suite synthesis for the executable specification, what we refer to as 3D coverage for coverage-driven test generation, and this synthesizable verification OS, we'll be able to provide a much more powerful solution than the regular just random solving that the other tools basically are doing.
That's a great summary. So Dave, what do you see in the future for Brecker? You know, what's going to happen over the next 5 years, say?
So yeah, great question, Dan. So I think in EDA, you know, there are companies that have useful technology that solve specific problems and they get acquired or they aren't able to solve problems and unfortunately they go out of business. But there are others with real vision who change the way development is performed. And these visionary companies can provide like a multi-X kind of advantage in time and coverage. Examples being Vristi, Jasper, Novus, and a number of others. So these guys are the guys that cross the chasm, right? They're providing a complete solution. They're working with multiple companies and they're providing big advantages. And it's clear Brecker has done that as well. We're past the chasm. We're providing complete solutions that we mentioned before. And looking at, you know, our 2x growth from last year and the same run rate for next year, we really believe we're on a path to capitalize on this full idea of the executable specification. You know, I really want this company to go down in history as these are the guys that crack the executable specification. Now we can take an executable spec and we can create tests and we're done with verification.
Excellent. You know, Dave, I was going to ask you why they chose you for this role, but I think it's quite obvious.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, clearly. So, Dave, let's talk about the Design Automation Conference. It's coming up. Yeah. We're back live, thankfully. What do you guys have planned? Are you going to give us some sneak previews here?
Oh, certainly. So we'll be exhibiting at the conference. We're excited and looking forward to it. I should mention that Mahin Hamid, our CFO, was just appointed to the Electronic Systems Design Alliance board. And I know she's got a number of different plans working with that organization as well. So that's exciting. So we'll be exhibiting. Adnan will be on a panel, a pavilion panel, I think on the second day on Tuesday in the mid-afternoon. And we also will be doing some announcements. We have some new technology in the cache coherency area, which we'll be talking about in some detail, as well as how that can be applied to some of the newer RISC-V processor architectures and the newer ARM processor as well. So there's some exciting things coming out there, and we'll definitely be showing that to everyone that comes to that this year.
That does sound good. You know, it's always good to hear about new technology at DAC. That's what DAC's, you know, all about.
Absolutely.
So that's great, Dave. Thanks. So this is a good stopping point. Thank you, Dave, for your time. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. And have a good day.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
We'll be right back.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.